The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Once upon a time in Radioland, a towering man strode to a silver microphone and announced to the world these words.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am that announcer, and my name is Todd Wilkerson. And this is the show I announce.
I'm announcing it right now, in fact.
And you have a front row seat to history.
Here's Eric.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the day after the election. Usually on the day after the election, you know who won. Well, actually, I do know who won. President Trump won. But I don't say that because we have the official results in yet. But I already said exactly what I'm saying now yesterday. Some people would say that's prophetic. Some people would say it's pathetic. But here's my take on it. First of all, Albin and Chris, welcome to the day after the election, November 4th.
Yes, good to be here.
Yeah. Here's my take. This is what I've been saying. Number one, Trump won when all of the ballots are counted and when all of that is adjudicated, because we should have known this would be a process that we wouldn't know for sure last night. Now, I know because I've seen enough to know, but to be able to officially declare it, absolutely not. We're certainly not there. But we knew, at least I knew, and many people I knew, we knew that the Democrats would pull this. They were prepared. This was their game plan. You don't put out a desiccated husk of a candidate and expect to win the normal way. I mean, in retrospect, Biden made Hillary look like a vibrant, viable candidate. We've never seen anything like Joe Biden. So they knew that they're going to prop him up and that they're going to have to do this. And exactly on cue, they did it. As soon as it looked like Trump's winning, they said, oh, we're going to stop counting right now. Why? Because they're going to try to figure out a way forward. They're buying time. They're doing anything they can do. Now, yes, I am assuming this is corruption. This is not people on the Democrat side would say to me, well, Eric, don't you want everything to be counted? And don't you want? I am saying that I believe it will be shown to be genuine corruption. So, yes, I'm saying that the actual winner and the actual vote count winner is Donald Trump, will be Donald Trump. And I say is because there's no more voting. The voting is over. I believe that the votes cast for him in the states will prove that he won. So I'm declaring he won, but I'm not declaring it as some kind of an official spokesman. I'm just saying it. What I'm also saying, and I've been saying this on Twitter, I haven't really said it anywhere else, but I've been saying it on Twitter and in texting with a couple of friends. This is God's mercy to this country. We do not deserve for this president to win easily. We deserve this mess, and we have deserved the mess of the last 4 years to show us that we have not been keeping the republic, to show us that unless we get serious about fighting for freedom, and fighting for freedom means praying, it means doing what the Bible says. Well, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will, you know how it continues, I will heal my land. But the point is, turn from their wicked ways. I really believe that the complacency of the church, I'm speaking only to those who would call themselves Christians, And I'm speaking to the complacency of people who would think of themselves as patriotic Americans or pro-Trump Americans, but who have not been willing to do what God requires, that this chaos is God's way of getting our attention and saying, if you want this president to officially be declared the winner, then you have to turn from your wicked ways. You have to pray. Did you think you could win this without praying, just by getting out the vote? No. Getting out the vote was obviously central, but there's more. You have to do that, and you have to pray, and you have to ask God to have mercy. And mercy means getting what you don't deserve. What we deserve is judgment from a God who takes seriously 60 million abortions since 1973. We deserve judgment. And if we don't pray, we get judgment. If we pray, perhaps we can get mercy. But have we prayed for God's mercy? I am not somebody who's fasted really in years. I find it very difficult. But as a result of my friend Jay Etzel, I mentioned him. He has a website, strengthenthenation.org. Strengthenthenation.com. And it's as a result of him that I, you know, called a three-day fast. Suzanne and I fasted until this morning, and we're going to continue fasting in the near future. But this is what I think God is saying. He's saying that if you want this, let's see how badly you want this. Are you willing to actually pray? Are you willing actually to turn from your wicked ways? Is there something in your life that you think I don't see? Are you willing to give that up? Does liberty and freedom on the American model mean that much to you? Are you willing to turn to me in prayer? Are you willing to turn to me with your life by giving up the things that you know are wrong? I think that's like, who are we kidding? God is real. This is not some like God talk. I mean, either God's real or he's not. I know that he is. And if you think he might be, I wonder if you might think about these things. Now, people say, why do you have to spiritualize everything? I think this is inescapably spiritual. Otherwise, I wouldn't. We're not talking about a sports contest. This is a contest for the soul of the West. America is the bellwether country. We have been the torch of freedom for such a long time that the whole world has looked to us, and they're looking to us right now. Will we go down the path of complacency, which leads to socialism and bondage, slavery, tyranny, or will we do what is right and return to our first love? Will we pray? Will we turn from our wicked ways? I don't know what that means in your life, only you do, but I really think God has allowed this chaos as a mercy to say, are you going to get serious? Because frankly, and Albin and Chris, I want to ask you, yeah. I mean, here's my opinion. My opinion is if Trump had won last night landslide, yeah, it would be a chest thumping like we won and then business as usual. Yeah. And I do not think that is God's plan. I think God's plan for this nation is to use Trump, but to use his church, that everyone in the church. Now, again, when I say the church, you can define that, folks, whether you say you're a Christian or not. And by the way, to those of you who aren't sure, I would say one of the ways that you can do something is you can ask yourself, do I want to give my life to God? Is this real? Is this something I need to do for me because it's the right thing? Is part of this chaos a way of God's getting my attention? Maybe I'm not looking to him. Maybe I'm just looking at the TV and stuff. I think that if you follow Twitter and the TV, whatever, you'll just go nuts. They're going to argue and argue and argue. And, oh, it's going downhill. There's corruption. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. But what do we know? I know that the votes as of the end of polling are going to show that Trump won, but it's going to take time. And in that time, we have an opportunity to pray. Yeah. Some of us are going to fast. Some of us are going to decide to turn away from sin because we actually believe God is using this to call us to holiness. Yeah. And that's the way we're going to walk forward in these 4 years and beyond. Otherwise, we don't.
Yeah, and we have to believe that we were all born for such a time as this. God didn't make a mistake and say, I meant for you to be born 50 years ago or 50 years in the future.
That's precisely right. Okay, now we have Kevin McCullough, Votestradamus, is coming up. So we'll continue this conversation. This is an important conversation. When we come back, I'm going to pray. I'm going to hang it out there, folks. I really believe this is kind of where we are, and this is where we're going to be for a little bit. And I believe this is God's plan. All things work together for good for those that are called, for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Even this election chaos, this corruption, all of it will play into God's hands for this nation and the world, and hopefully for you personally. We'll be right back. Hey there, welcome back, folks. I'm talking to Chris Himes, Alban Sadar, and yes, there he is, Kevin McCullough, Votstradamus, our friend. Mr. Votstradamus, how do you see things? I've just said how I see things. What is your take?
Well, the truth is, as we sit here and chat at this very moment, we don't know where things are at. And there is a great amount that is yet to be figured out. And I think that, like much of the rest of the country, I'm trying to put the pieces together of what is actually at play here. But I think that you can safely assume that we are moving from the ballot casting and counting into the question of legality and what gets to be counted.
Right.
I think that's probably the most critical thing that can be analyzed at this point.
What I have been saying, you didn't get to hear it, but I said that in my mind, there's no doubt that Trump won, that the votes cast by the deadline were in his favor in the right states, and that he will eventually be shown to be the winner. But we are going to have this process before it can be determined. And what I've said is that I see this as God's mercy on this country, that if we had just had a big win, we'd all be, you know, those who like Trump would be chest bumping and we go carry on with business as usual. I think that this is God's mercy in showing us in a way that we cannot go back the way we came, right? It's like the Magi were warned in a dream. You remember that?
Right.
That they were not to go back the way they had come. I actually believe that that is where we are. Now, again, if you're not a person of faith, and maybe if you are a person of faith, what I'm saying sounds screwy, but I really believe that this madness is God's mercy. I'm saying that, do you understand what you're up against? Do you understand what it's going to take for you to keep the Republic and to move forward? Or do you just want to win and carry on? If you carry on 4 years from now, you will lose big time and you'll never get it back.
I don't disagree with that really at all. And I think that there's kind of a twofold layer that I'm kind of personally dealing with in terms of response. There's the, I want to understand and investigate and have knowledge of what actually happened. So I would like to know facts about.
Well, that's the difference between you and me. And that's why you're on this program, because we're also interested in that. But right. I just wanted to kind of give it that overview. But I think we're dying to know.
But I think it's difficult to get to the greater spiritual meaning until we understand what the physical reality was. So if what we are
seeing, what do you mean?
So if what we are seeing is a reaction that was based, if there was mass cheating and mass ballot harvesting and other things in the kind of physical realm, but if you, taking your analogy through, Eric, God allows that to stand as the ultimate kind of decision for the day, which is totally within his power and possibility that he can do that, what lesson then does that bring to us that we'll have to deal with it?
However, I don't see that as possible. In other words, I see that he's allowing us to dodge a bullet. We deserve to lose in this way, but God is showing us extraordinary mercy. That's my theory. I shouldn't say theory.
I don't know. I feel that confident that we are going to have dodged the bullet. What I'm getting at though is that there is so much. This is going to be a learning opportunity for all of us with children, especially. My 10-year-old over the last 6 months has, because he's been forced to stay in the same house with me 24 hours a day nonstop, he has suddenly become a student of politics and of world issues and what's going on. And he hears me doing my show every day. And he suddenly developed this very deep intrigue into how the world works around us. If we have something that we as Christians do not like, that we have to then endure because of an unjust outcome here, I have to, as a proper follower of Christ, say, there's something there that I am to learn from in the process. Now, however, I don't know if that's the actual lesson unless I know the actual facts. And I'm not saying that Trump is lost, and I'm not saying that Amy Coney Barrett isn't put on the Supreme Court to make a key decision at a key time. I don't know the facts at this as we sit and have this discussion right now. But what are the overarching truths that I do know? That God is not any less in control today than he was yesterday. And if there is mass amount of cheating and immoral activity and behavior that allows this to happen, then and it is allowed to stand, then I have to ask myself the question, what lesson am I to be learning through this process, watching God work at this moment? Now, having said all of that, I think if there is cheating, if there is corruption, if there is immoral intent and actions that brought this about, I want to investigate them all. I want to throw the book at all of them. I want to make sure that we get justice as close to justice as we can get in our earthly power. But at the end of the day, I trust God more than I trust the pollsters, the ballot harvesters, the secretaries of state, and even the president himself.
Well, you've said exactly, in a different way, you've said exactly what I've been meaning to say. I really do believe that this is on us, that what we do between now and when this is finished is up to us. And I think this has been God's way of getting our attention by saying, I quoted 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Now, there are many, many people who didn't vote. And then there are many people who they just think voting was enough. I really think this is a call to national repentance. Now, again, that's going to sound loony to many people, but I don't care. I simply think that if we don't understand that God can give us over to ourselves. He can say, you want to do it your way, go ahead, do it your way. But I remember, you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 3 through like 6 or 7, where God says, I am the Lord your God who delivered you out of slavery, right? If we are delivered from socialism, cultural Marxism, the death of America as we know it, God will have miraculously delivered us out of slavery, out of bondage. Yeah. Now, why does he do that? He does that so that we will be his people. We will give ourselves to him utterly so that we will fight for this. We will no longer be complacent. The church will no longer be complacent. We will see what it is he delivered us from. Now, if we don't have profound gratitude that he would do that for us and change our ways from the past, then I don't think he will do that for us. And so I think that this is kind of a referendum on the church.
Let me push back on that for a second. If we get to the end of the day and this goes the way that you and I didn't want it to go, the question about what role the church played, I think, becomes very relevant. Because when you have, in essence, Tim Keller and John Piper and a handful of other people say that there really was freedom of conscience to choose something that you knew was morally wrong.
Yeah.
Then that is on us more so than the general population. It is the believers.
I'm agreeing with that. There's no pushback. I agree with what you just said 100%.
So I'm not convinced that there will be necessarily a merciful outcome. There may be greater suffering because we didn't get the job done in the area of the unborn. There may be greater suffering. You know, what's really amazing, Eric, I'll say a couple of things that still stand out to me. Last night, after being accused of being a racist for the last 4 years, the president carried the single most Hispanic county in all.
I'm glad you brought it up because
not by a small margin. It was an overwhelming, compelling win.
Yeah.
And he
but he hates brown people. Wait a minute. He hates brown people, Kevin.
Also, in every major city where they're having the questionable ballots and they're having to go find the extra votes. And I've never seen an election just stopped at 10:30 at night. Look, I cover these things for a living. I remember in 2016 having to wait up until 3 a.m. to know that Donald Trump won. I remember sitting up all night in 2000 and saying, hey, will we ever know who's going to be president between Al Gore and George Bush? Since when did they just stop counting ballots at 10 in the evening?
You're making my point. Does anyone doubt that something wicked is going on?
Find a deficit so that they could then understand the percentage needed to harvest,
which proves Trump won. They know it. They can't risk his winning, so they will do anything, including unprecedented things, like suddenly say, oh, we're not going to count ballots anymore. We're done for the night. Why? Because we want to buy time. We want to figure out how do we get out of the nightmare of a second Trump term. That, to me, seems fairly clear that they wouldn't have done these kinds of things. Antifa and BLM, they wouldn't have been plotting and planning. If you followed any of that, there was an amazing video the other day. They've been prepared for this. They knew that they would probably need to do this. This is their plan. We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to Kevin McCullough. Do not go away. Foolishly laying our hearts on the table, stumbling in. Our love is a flame, burning within. Now and then, firelight will catch us, stumbling in.
Patriots, I want to make sure you're prepared to vote on November 3rd. The Radical Democrats are doing everything in their power to stop Republicans from winning. And we want to make sure patriots like you are heard. This is the election of our lifetime. Make sure your vote is counted. Text Metaxas, M-E-T-A-X-A-S, to 88022 to find your polling location.
Investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify? NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net.
An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net.
Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with MyPillow, you may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like three pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are, and I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to MyPillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you. Folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's getting wacky up in here. I'm talking to my friend Kevin McCullough. We're talking about last night, the election results. What do you say there, Kevin? What else did you notice? So wait. You're saying that Trump doesn't seem to be a racist, or the people, the brown people, the Hispanics don't consider him to be a racist. I find that a fascinating.
Well, I think even beyond that, I think people, one of the clear things about the Hispanic vote was that people that have endured communism and socialism in countries other than America spoke clearly that they don't want to see it again here. And so it's odd how people who have lived under Marxism say, yeah, that's really bad. We probably shouldn't try that. But
now, wait. Hold on. What you're saying also is that they saw a threat of it in Biden and Harris. They see a threat of it in today's Democratic Party, which is a very big deal. That's a big deal to say that those people who know what it looks like, they saw it in Biden and Harris.
Agreed. And I think that everybody, look, this was the hologram candidacy, right? You never saw an actual Joe Biden. You just saw R2-D2 projecting him into the middle of the room from the corner of the car park, wherever they were.
Right.
It was really, and staying on that theme for a second, the way the president performed amongst African Americans across the country is also very telling. The Republican Party has really become, in this election cycle, a party that people are willing to give a different look at than they were before, based on fairness, based on the idea that they're fighting for the working man. There's a whole different kind of construct that came out of last night's elections. And I just want to point this out. My map took a beating last night, and I owned up to that on Twitter. But here's the thing. The pollsters got this wrong, and they got it wrong big time. If you were watching or following any of the major polls across the Real Clear Politics average, you saw something that happened last night that none of them thought. Biden was going to win everything, and he was going to win it big, and it wasn't even going to be close. And just the Florida performance alone for the president was impressive, because, you know, he increased a win there that should have been in Biden's, you know, thinking and their team's thinking. He should have lost by less than what he lost to Hillary. And that was also true in some of these other places. But the one thing that we have in common with all of the current places that are under suspicion is that they are Democrat-heavy, establishment Democrat-heavy cities inside of Democrat states that have deeply, deeply flawed, questionable ballot practices going back years, and they're all Democrat-run. So we're up for a real fight here. And I think that leads into the legal battle, which is going to be...
Doesn't that prove what I'm saying? I'm sorry. It proves what I'm saying, that why would they need to play that game unless they knew they were in trouble? So they said, time out. And, you know, and while they're having their time out, they're going to figure out how we can win, despite the fact that it doesn't look like we got the votes. That's called cheating, I think.
It is. And I would say that there's going to be more than that's going to be tested in court. When Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and North Carolina all decided to just randomly change the rules for how a ballot is defined. In Pennsylvania, there is no matching signature requirement anymore, for example. Not a lot of people know that. Not only did they get the extension on being able to send ballots late, but you no longer have to have a matching signature. They just are giving you the assumption that you signed it properly.
How is this not called desperation and cheating? Can you explain that to me?
Well, and I'm not sure that it is, but here's the problem, Eric. You have 99% of the media establishment that will not get into this criteria in detail. So now not only do you have a party that is wholesale willing to cheat at every turn to steal this election, you've got a media establishment that is willing to cover it up for them. And if you don't have independent voices, then people aren't going to know.
Well, Kevin, that's the only reason Biden was even seemingly close, is because the media establishment have become traitors to their own calling, to their own vocation. They have become traitors to that. They are no longer journalists. They're no longer doing it fair. And they've become traitors to the United States of America. They have been all in for him. If that doesn't get exposed, and it is going to be exposed in the weeks ahead, then we're going to continue and we're going to get more of the same. This needs to be pulled out by the roots. And I honestly believe that God has allowed this mess so that we will get to the bottom of this, so that people will be called to account. There's 10 different ways that they are going to try to, I'm using the word cheat. you know, you've just mentioned two of them, but it's kind of like pull out all the stops, do everything, win at all costs. That's not the American way.
It's not, and it's certainly not a moral way. And the bigger issue for me is constantly, I don't want to be an American first. I want to be a God lover first. And I want my children to follow in my footsteps, in my worldview, not because I'm a Republican or an independent or a conservative, but rather because I'm someone that believes in an ultimate truth. And what we are really on the verge of right now, Eric, is the abolishment of truth as a knowable element anymore. There is literally and I mean, by God's mercy and by the hair of God's mercy, we are not there yet, but it is not far off given the current path that we're on. And I think that the church bears a huge responsibility in that.
You think, Kevin, there is no question that the church bears the responsibility. God calls his church to be the conscience of the nation. To the extent that we have not been, and there are many ways in which we have not been. We'll be right back, folks. I'm talking to Kevin McCullough. Folks, welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're doing an autopsy on last night. Kevin McCullough, Votstradamus, what do you think about what's happening, and what do you think about the role of prayer in this?
Well, you mentioned that two segments back, and I wanted to come back to that, Eric, because I don't know of an election, at least in my short time on this earth. I'm 50 years old. I don't know of election in my lifetime that I have seen publicly so many people of God calling the church to pray and then praying like they've never prayed before. You yourself, in the last 3 weeks that I've been on with you a couple of times, like every week, you've been talking about fasting and praying. I sent you a notice from my Twitter following yesterday before the polls, and before we got to noon yesterday. I had heard from, I think, 15 different countries in a variety of people from every walk of life that happened to be confessing believers in Jesus, that said that they were praying and that their countrymen were praying and that they were praying for God's will to be done in America. On top of that, you look at the numbers of how the president held evangelicals and Catholics in the turnout yesterday, and his biggest base of support are praying people who believe that God really does things. So if this goes in a way that we don't want it to go, it wasn't because God's people didn't pray. And I think that even this morning, I'm looking at Twitter right now, Franklin Graham still saying, I ask that you continue to pray for our nation and this election. I think that there is something that we're going to figure out is really important about what all of this means. And I think that the church is really primed to be able to receive that, because this has been such an election wrapped in the seeking of God and asking him to do what he wants done.
There's no doubt about this in my mind. This is spiritual. I just want to say, look, to everyone who fasted and prayed, it's only because of those prayers over the last years, by the way. I know people who have prayed for years now over this president, over this country. I know people that had fasted and prayed for the last 10 days. I know all this stuff has gone on. It is only as a result of that we are here, where we still have hope. And my point is, I think that God is allowing this chaos and this corruption and this malfeasance and this foot dragging. All of this is to call people back to himself. And so what it really means is that there are plenty of people, and you know this and I know this, who have not yet said, I really want to dedicate my life to God totally. I want to give up this sin or that sin. I want to live for God. I don't want to live in a country like that. God, what do you want me to do? I think everybody's in a different place, but God is calling us to himself. And I don't have any doubt that this weird period is his mercy getting our attention and saying, okay, will you pray? I'm going to do more fasting and praying in the days and weeks ahead. And I call everyone I know to do that. Go to the website, strengthenthenation.com, where my friend Jay Edsel has some kind of tips on fasting and stuff, which I think are important. But I think that's the way forward. And so all the rest to me is details. The details aren't important, but I'm saying if you're focused on watching TV and how's this going and how's that going, this will not be settled for a little while. In the meantime, God is calling us back to himself. I firmly believe this, that we are not going to go back to business as usual, that there's going to be revival and repentance in this nation. We're going to become, listen, Lincoln said that we would have a new birth of freedom. I don't think we ever had the new birth of freedom. I think after the Civil War, the Democrats continued to persecute and suppress the Blacks in the South. I really believe that this is time for us to have a new birth of freedom and to step into what Whitfield was talking about and part of our destiny as a country, to be a freedom, a torch of freedom to the whole world, not just to ourselves.
Well, some encouraging things that we need to remember in the physical portion of this response is that we are a long way from this being settled.
Correct.
And if people lived through the Bush-Gore fight, and you weren't doing talk radio at that time, Eric, but I was, I think Bush-Gore is going to make this look like, Bush-Gore was a walk in the park compared to what I think we've got in store
for us. I totally agree. Totally.
Because there are so many points of sketchy practice that so many states exercised, and it's going to come down to the Supreme Court. And I come back to the sovereignty of God's working even in that. We've got a godly, God-fearing, God-seeking woman who just got added to the court that may be the hard 5-4 vote that does the right thing. And if you're listening to Eric's show and you're just saying, well, Kev, you and Eric only say the right thing happens the way you want it to turn out. Maybe God is, you know, doing something other than what you and Eric wanted to have turn out as the outcome. You may be right. But at the end of the day, I just want another Lincoln quote. God is not nearly as much interested if he is not so much interested as being on our side as much as we need to be interested in being on his.
Amen.
And I think that's where we're headed.
That's exactly correct, my friend. This is about God's will. And all I'm saying is I believe that he's giving us an opportunity to choose. He says that if I deliver you out of bondage in Egypt, will you give yourselves to me utterly? Will you be a holy nation? Will you do everything I ask you to do? Or are you just going to go to business as usual and watch your football games and do whatever you do and forget that you have a mighty role to play? Every single person has a huge role to play in keeping the Republic. Obviously, my book, If You Can Keep It, I talk about this, that if you want to be slaves, if you want to be part of some socialist, culturally Marxist world, then you only have to do what people tell you to do. But if you want to be free, you have a deep responsibility. And I really believe this is a referendum on the church first and foremost in America. But there are many Americans that they might not be evangelicals, but they say, well, I'm a Christian. I believe in that stuff. And I think this is God's hand. He's saying, I want to give you an opportunity to go deeper, to really give me your life, to turn away from those things that you know are wrong, to give your life to me, because unless we have a people of virtue, a people of prayer, this world that we live in, this freedom is not possible. We've come to the end of the rope. If we do not go back, this will be over. We'll be right back, folks. I'm talking to Kevin McCullough. If you're watching on YouTube and you wonder what room I'm in the room where I had the dream about the golden fish. That very room, you can go to ericmetaxas.com, click on the I Am Second video to see what I mean by the dream of the golden fish. Kevin, just a few minutes left. What's cooking, my man? What's happening?
Oh, I'm hoping to get some sleep over the next couple of days. 48 to 56 hour shifts are not exactly ideal for a dad of three young people. But, it's one of those things, Eric, where I don't think I hope I'm not spending all that energy in just my physical strength. I hope there's a greater spiritual purpose into what I'm doing. But I'm not confident enough of my spirituality to be able to say that I only did it because God had me there. I think there was a big piece of me that is just naturally a lover of my country, and I want to see the country succeed. I think the days ahead are going to be very telling, and I don't think, this is not shocking to anyone, I don't think they're going to be very unifying. I think that we are going to see very strong forces that have very set agendas try to rip the administration and the process and the appeals and the legal actions and everything that you're seeing. I think they're going to try to rip it apart. And
I think we need to see that. I think
you and
everyone
I have a front row seat to this.
It. And I think that that's God's mercy, Kevin, that we need to see it. Americans need to see what the other side is willing to do. We need to see who they are, and we're going to see it.
Well, I think that you and I hold a special responsibility in that period of time, because people will be turning. One thing that was true in the 2000 race is that talk radio, and specifically issue-oriented talk radio, people turned to it. They were looking for information, and they were looking for reliable information. If the church is wise, this is a great opportunity, just like the beginning of the pandemic was, to tell people the ultimate truth. And we can't go wrong in doing that. So I think that as the next few days come forward, we need to tell the truth about the elections. We need to say, this is where this happened and this happened, and these ballots probably shouldn't be counted. These probably should. Here's why, all the rationale. But on top of that, don't not be looking out for the bigger overarch story that is God is at work. He has great things still planned, and we have an opportunity to be part of that and to be the mouthpieces to the greater masses about what that means.
I think that's exactly right. And people who listen to this program know that I'm normally not as quote unquote spiritual as I've been today, but I think this is inescapable. God has his hand on this nation. Look, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg had died 2 weeks later, we would not have Amy Coney Barrett. And we would lose ultimately if it goes to the Supreme Court. That is not going to happen. I am convinced not only that Trump won, but that he will be declared the winner. I think we need to stand strong during this time. And as I said over and over, we need to pray. Some of us are going to fast and pray, but I have no doubt that God is doing this ultimately to bless us. Things are not what they appear to be, Kevin. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm talking about. I'm wearing a pocket square, right? You think I'm wearing a pocket square? Oh, no. It's just one of these ugly COVID masks. I just want you to know it's an ugly COVID mask. And I'll give you the last word, my friend.
Well, I think that there's a lot of things to be paying attention to. And I've asked this question on Twitter. I'd like your folks to also consider it. In the future, what do we really want our elections to be? What should our elections be? The more I was thinking about it at 4:30 this morning, three things became very clear. Elections should be limited to legal participants. They should be limited to the time legally established, and they should be limited to those that produce them in legal and transparent methods. We have an entire political party that doesn't want to do any of those things.
Well, bingo. Now, listen, we're done with this hour. Hang on there, folks. In hour two, I'm talking to Pastor Alan Jackson. We recorded that a few days ago, but I think you like it. It's called God Bless America Again. That's his new book. And we will talk to you at the end of hour two. Stick around.